You're listening to Footy Roundup. Rob Sergianek, Matt Tidcombe, reunited, and it feels so good, Matty. It's been quite a long time since we've had a show. I've definitely missed it. I mean, it's not quite as exciting as Michael Jordan's comeback to the NBA, but it's up there.
it's getting close to that kind of territory for comebacks.
Getting right into it, Matty, TFC, another offseason, another overhaul, another complete change of system. Roster, I think maybe one of the only things not being overhauled already is Greg Vanney's still in his position.
Head coach for now. Head coach right now.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. What are your thoughts on TFC's offseason? I mean, much needed in my opinion, and it seemed like they were super active as well.
Yeah, they've been really active. Probably the most active team in the MLS, actually. I think just straight up, obviously, let's just go straight into Giovinco. It's a great signing, I think. The fact that they managed to get him to come over early as well. I think that's a big one,
yeah.
It's a huge
to try
one
to get him settled.
I mean, the start. If you look at back to the start of last year when they had Defoe at the very beginning of the season, you know, they won in Seattle the first game of the year when Defoe scored twice. And Defoe actually was the guy who got them off to that hot start, and then obviously he got injured and the rest is history. But so having Giovinco right there from the beginning is going to be huge for them. And obviously with Jose Altidore in there as well, that's two really good players they have up front now.
Matty, just a quick sidebar with our show coming back now. We're going to be having a new format, first half and second half. That way the listeners can kind of cut to whatever it is specifically that they want to hear. I know you told me before we started. It's all gold.
It's all gold, baby.
So the first half we're going to be covering, the MLS offseason, I guess, primarily from the Canadian club perspective, as well as our thoughts on the transfers. Second half will be the big four leagues, you know, Premiership, La Liga, Bundesliga, and Serie A. Getting back to TFC, Giovinco's got to be the big signing here.
Yeah, oh, no question about it. I mean, Altidore, bringing him in is a big signing. But yeah, I think Giovinco, especially a guy who's, you know, early to mid to late 20s,
still kind of in his prime. Yeah.
You know, he's had some good experience in Juve. You know, he's won a couple of league titles, etc.
Featured for the national team as well.
Exactly. So, I mean, he's a huge signing. I think he's a bigger and better signing than Jermaine Defoe was.
I think the potential is there. I mean, the thing with Defoe scored, though. I mean, it was a more tangible impact, I think, for a casual fan seeing Defoe on the score sheet twice. I don't think Giovinco's going to be putting in, you know, nearly the goal rate that Jermaine did, but you'd hope that he'd impact the game at a higher level.
I think he's going to be better than Defoe. I really believe
that.
How
would you quantify better, though?
Well, being healthy for a whole year would be nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think
the team results maybe.
But I think half the thing here, though, is that Giovinco won't have the pressure Defoe had. Like, Defoe's partners were a Gilberto, who was garbage for about two-thirds of the season.
Turned it around the second half.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. He had a great second half of the year, and he's partially why TFC were able to stay in the playoff hunt as late as they did, when Defoe was out injured. But, I mean, to me, it's like he's going to have less pressure. Because Defoe was the guy who was expected to score. But now with Altidore here as well, and you still have Luke Moore. They've brought in Robbie Finley as well, Marco Delgado. So there's a couple of different options up front now. So I think Giovinco will have less pressure, but I still think he'll bag around 15 goals this year.
Yeah, and hopefully a good number of assists as well. Right. Something that seemed just so TFC to me, Matt, I saw on Twitter some of the reaction that they asked Giovinco what his preferred position was, and he said that he likes to play in an out-and-out striker, advanced kind of role. And they asked him, Vazbichenko, during the press conference, where do you envision Giovinco playing? He goes, well, a traditional number 10 guy behind the strikers. So I just wondered, did they even ask this guy, hey, like, what position do you want to play when they get here, or did they just assume, create a fulcrum? But I think the intent is for him to play the quote-unquote 10 role and, kind of set up the forwards and link up the mid to the attack. And hopefully he's up to the task.
They probably think Altidore will sign as a defender. Like, after his awful goal-scoring ratio in
Bendik
England.
Bendik needs a push at the back, doesn't he?
Yeah, or Stephen Caldwell or whoever. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they got options up front now. The other question here, though, is what they do with Gilberto. Because obviously MLS can only have three designated players.
There was talk about a fourth for a while.
Seems like, I think it's almost like a TFC rule. They're like, just keep pushing it, hoping they can keep Gilberto. But I don't think it's going to happen, especially because the MLS season starts in, 6 weeks now?
The unfortunate thing for Toronto, though, I think Gilberto would fit in good with this roster. Having Altidore a little more forward and Gilberto behind him and Giovinco kind of linking both of them.
Right.
It would be nice if he could stay, but it seems like the writing's on the wall. I mean, you got your...
You have no option here. Because you're not going to
get rid of the middle of the park. I can't see
it. I mean, unless they... let's get rid of Michael Bradley to keep Gilberto.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
So, but when you look at it, though, like, the three designated players are Michael Bradley, Altidore, and Giovinco. That's...
It's not bad.
That's a for MLS, that's a really good.
What are your thoughts on Altidore? I know I was a little higher on the signing than you were initially, but you seem like you're coming around a little bit.
I like it. I think his game suits MLS because he's such a big physical guy, and so many of the MLS defenders are not like that. But what bothers me is the fact he just couldn't score when he was in England.
Mm-hmm.
He was absolutely shockingly bad for Sunderland. Like, historically bad. I think he had, I'd have to double check the number exactly, but I think it was like 3 goals in like 50 appearances.
I think it was even less.
It was absolutely shambolic. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I think he'll come to MLS, and I think between him and Giovinco, they're going to bang in, I don't know, around 25 goals.
But yeah, I think 25 goals would be the magic number of what you'd hope would be the minimum that they could produce together.
Well, you would think so, right? Yeah. Because like I said, you know, I said to you last year, you take out, I mean, Defoe was quite good when he played for the most part. Michael Bradley was exceptional. But I said to you last year, and I'm adamant, that Luke Moore was their best player last year. So they still have Luke Moore. And they signed him to, I think they signed him to a new deal. So, I mean, he's going to be kicking around for a while. There's no reason he's not going to be able to score goals. And like I said earlier, like, they brought in a couple of guys. They got Marco Delgado from Chivas in the dispersal draft, because obviously Chivas USA are out of the league now. And they got Robbie Finley as well in the re-entry draft. And Eric Zavaleta, some guy from Seattle they got on a trade. I'll be honest, I don't know about you. I don't know much about this kid. All I know is he's pretty young, as is Delgado. But it's an opportunity for these guys. I mean, they're not going to be short on striking options.
The one I'm watching is Damien Perquis from Real Betis. Played a little bit for Poland, hoping that he can solidify the back. Sorry with that joker, Stephen Caldwell, just to go back in the archives.
In case
here.
You forgot him.
Yeah. I think potentially for the first time in a while, though, Matt, if ever even, you could argue, that Toronto FC's defense should be fairly solid. I also like Brendan Morrow as well.
And they also re-signed Mark Bloom, who had a pretty good year last year.
Yep.
I really like this perk.
Haglund's still around, too, I think. He wasn't bad.
Is it, how do you say it? Perquis? Perquis?
This Perquis, guy's, I think.
Perquis, yeah. I mean, whatever it is. It
seemed French to me when I saw the name.
I looked actually, now you say he's French, I looked at his like Wikipedia page for what that's worth last night, and he was born in France, but he's Polish.
So see, I told you Perquis. I know my names.
Yeah, so, yeah, don't have a doubt, Rob. I think it's a good signing, because, I mean, he's a guy who's played... I think anytime you can take a guy from Europe who's played many, many years in La Liga or the Premier League or Bundesliga or Serie A,
or the national team too. Even that's high-level competition.
Exactly, right? And he's not an old guy either. So it's good to see that TFC are actually bringing in guys like, you know, we talked about Bradley last year in his prime. You've got Giovinco in his prime. You've got Altidore in his prime. You've got this Perquis guy in his prime now. You got guys who were not coming when they're 35, like Beckham or Nestor or, you know, Robbie Keane, these kind of guys. The other good signing as well is the fact they signed Benoit Cheyrou from Marseille. He's a free agent. He spent like the last, I think, like seven, eight years in the French league. He's a really, really good signing, I think. It's like he's a kind of midfield forward guy. So it's just another option. I think he's going to be a really good signing. Kind of guy you might not start very often, but come off the bench and, you know, produce a little bit of a spark for the team. And by the way, to confirm, it is 3 goals in 50 games for Altidore in England. 2 Premier League goals.
Just as bad as it sounded the first time.
Oh, shocking. Actually, 1 Premier League goal.
Yeah,
in
I thought
40
it was
games.
One. That's the stat I remember.
That's not good, dude. By the way, Defoe scored a couple of times already for Sunderland. Just an FYI.
Not entirely surprised. So when you look at TFC's roster makeup right now, there may still be, you know, a couple of probably minor changes along the way. I can't imagine something drastic at this point, save for Gilberto leaving.
Right.
I see two weaknesses on this team, Matt. Who's going to play wing? There's no width that I can see. Can Cheyrou play wing? Well, theoretically, they need someone wide.
Right? Yeah. But the big thing is, like you say about the wing, Dominic Adoro got traded to Montreal. So he's gone.
Yeah. I didn't really rate Adoro, but he had pace at least.
And Kyle Becker got traded to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're kind of down a few guys there. I mean, you still got Osorio, of course.
Jackson, your favorite?
Oh, jeez. It's funny, though. Every time I go to a game, he scores. It's incredible. Like, I mean, the 3 TFC games last year, I think he scored in 2 of them. It's just phenomenal. The guy finds a way to score when I go
Wing
to see him.
Wing concerns me, and the other spot that concerns Cody me
Warner
is I'm not thrilled about the depth at forward. I do think Moore
really?
Is good, like you said. I feel like they could use... you know, one more impact piece up front to just kind of round out the roster. Defensively, I think they're rock solid. Down the middle of the park in midfield, I think easily it's probably the best Toronto FC's had since they've been in the league.
This is the best roster by a mile. Like, there's no
question. You going on record saying playoffs right now?
I'll be ballsy. I'll go playoffs.
I just can't. There's too much buyer beware. I do think there's more... you know, fluidity to this roster. I think it's a little bit more solid top to bottom with some of the pieces they brought in. I like, as you mentioned, that guys like Giovinco and Altidore, hopefully, fingers crossed, A, remain healthy, B, remain with the team in the long term, because I think having a team together and united longer and more in their prime is really beneficial. So I think the roster top to bottom is better. I just do not trust this team to make the playoffs until I see it. They should be better.
I mean, I can't blame you for that. I mean, I don't think anyone should in Sixers grass. And obviously this year as well, we've got the new stadium. Well, not the new stadium, but the expansion to the stadium as well going up. There's a lot of expectation. You know, they've invested a lot. I mean, they're playing Giovinco, the highest paid player in the league now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of money they're investing. Obviously, the money they spent on Altidore. You know, they're going all in. And I mean, in my opinion, I mean, I got to be honest, I got to look at probably some of the other MLS rosters that are more in depth. But this is, you know, on paper, it's one of the better rosters out there. Just like, there's a lot of different talent, a lot of different, you know, ways they can get
pieces,
goals.
Yeah.
Like you said, they can defend well in the looks of things. They got a lot of options in midfield. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think there's any expectation but playoffs because it can be expected this year.
I mean, saying it's put up or shut up time at this point is almost beyond cliche because that's been said now for the last probably 3 or 4 seasons for sure.
Right.
I mean, for sure last season.
I mean,
how much pressure do you think is on this team compared to last year? In some ways, I actually feel less because they didn't market it that same aggressive bloody big deal campaign. And I think there's a lot of, you know, residual frustration and just not trusting by the TFC fan base of, you know, there's just blind faith anymore. Like, let's see some results and then we'll really get on the train here. I think there's a little less pressure on this roster.
Yeah, I would say so, because like you said, he didn't market it the same way. Like, if they had the bloody big deal 2.0
Redux times two, like,
if they did something stupid like that, they would just shoot themselves in the foot. Like, yeah. So like you say, I don't think the pressure is there.
But that might help them in a way.
It might do, but I think the players know, though. They know that this is one of the biggest markets in the league. They've never made the playoffs. Quite frankly, they just, for all intents and purposes, pretty much suck most years.
Yeah.
Last year was their best chance to make the playoffs. They had it going. Remember, like, on the show, we were talking, like, middle of the season. Like, I was at, like, 95%. You were a little less at, like, 80% they're going to make the playoffs. I was so adamant.
I've just been in Toronto longer.
I know.
You've
been,
more
that's
angst.
Exactly it. I was so sure they were going to make the playoffs, and it just, you know, they found a way to blow it again, right? But, like you say, I think this year the pressure is less, but at the end
and
of the
day,
roster
is a little bit better top
to
bottom.
The roster is better top to bottom in terms of depth. I think, I'll be honest, I think they're good enough to make the playoffs this year.
Give me a percentage on the playoffs
right
now.
Oh, my goodness. You're killing me already. Well, like you say, I don't want to go all in because, you know,
you
they
think
haven't
it's
even
75?
Played a game yet. I would say 70. 70%.
I'll go
to increase as the season progresses.
I'm keeping it 50-50 till I see how things look going that's forward. It's a cop-out, I know.
That answer. It's like,
okay, you want 51% playoffs?
51,
I'm leaning slightly.
There you go. Slight advantage to the playoffs. But they got the makeup to get it done this year. But.
Maddie, quickly moving on to the other Canadian teams. Montreal, Marco DeVille, you know, the, I guess, as close as you can get to legendary in MLS for a team that hasn't been around too long. He did score in his last game. Made no, you know, secret that he was going
to
retire. He's out in Montreal. In our Nigel Rio-Coker, I know you'll remember him, former Englishman, English international, I guess I should say. He was picked up in the waiver draft, and they also picked up a young defender by the name of Victor Cabrera from River Plate on loan, a youngster that I think they're hoping is going to stick there. Not too much that we've seen from Montreal this offseason.
Yeah, not much at all. I mean, replacing DVL is going to be the big thing here, getting goals. Rio-Coker is a pretty good signing. Like,
yeah.
He went to Chivas, and they got him on the waiver draft, as you said. I
think he was first pick actually because Montreal finished last. I'm pretty sure he went first overall in that waiver draft.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Montreal next year are going to be similar to what they were this year.
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit better.
Probably better, but I mean in terms
of not playoff caliber.
That's what I mean in terms of like playing the young guys, trying to make that work. But I wouldn't expect anything much more. I mean, quickly back to DVL though. He led them to the playoffs. So I mean, you know, that's a pretty good. It's already more than what CFC have ever done. So you know, I think it was a very good player for them for a while.
When they went to the playoffs, was that not when they had Nesta and Ferrari in the middle? I think it was
in the back. Yeah,
yeah. So that would help a little bit too.
Just having Alessandro Nesta is always a good thing.
So maybe a slight improvement by Montreal just for keeping the same young core, but not playoff caliber.
No.
What about Vancouver? They had a nice season, almost proved my upset pick in the playoffs, right? Mm. They actually just dropped it right at the death there, I believe, against Dallas, I think
it was,
right? Yeah. What do you see from them going forward? I think they are still a playoff team in my estimation. I mean, they bring back a lot of the same guys.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Like, you look at the players who have gone out. Sebastian Fernandez is probably
it's
biggest name.
It's a tough loss,
Andy O'Brien. I don't know, it's a name to us because he played so long in England, was quite good playing in the Premier League. But the rest of it as well is not anything that you wouldn't, I don't know, it's not a shock. So like you say, it's a lot of the same guys. I think they're a fringe playoff team again, you know, like what they were last year, sixth in the league, getting in like the last couple of days of the season over Portland. I don't think they're any more or any better than that. They're no better or worse than that, I should say. So
they still got a lot of their
five,
their core,
six,
though.
Seven, eight is probably where I'd put them in the league.
I think Pedro Morales, you can make a case, might be the best player in MLS right now.
Yeah, you could. You know, if someone argued that, I don't think you could you'd have to listen to them anyway.
Yeah, he's back. Eric Hurtado's back. You know, Kakuta Mane. They still have some good pieces. Russell Tybert's coming along. I really rate the job that Carl Robinson did there. I think he's really gotten that young team to bond well together. Right. I would say I think Vancouver's back in the playoffs, but it's going to be close again. It's going to go pretty well, I think, to the death.
And some other quick MLS notes. Obviously, Frank Lampard is not coming until the middle of the season now after the Premier League season's over with Man City. Really weird situation, but it is what it is.
And that's one I want to see. Like, does he still come if he still has something?
Oh, I'm 100%. Yeah? He sure does. Oh, yeah.
It feels Beckhamish when Beckham got the taste of AC Milan. And
yeah, and was like, hesitant to come back a little. I know. I think Frank will come over. I mean, he's already extended his stay by being able to, because I mean, he was meant to come over now, right, in January, but he's managed to get his stay until the end of the year. He's going to probably win a Premier League title with Man City. No, he's not, because Chelsea are top. But, you know, I mean, in time, you know, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's, I didn't like it. You signed to play for a club, and now you're backing out because
yeah, it's kind of adding
because
all
you get,
these
you're kind of nice
variables.
Playing in the Premier League again. Yeah. But it is what it is, and obviously they have a big one. If Steven Gerrard is leaving Liverpool to go to
Matt, my
the
question
Galaxy.
To you is: how quickly are you going to make a track with an 8x10 to get Steven Gerrard to sign your photo?
Well, I don't have a photo of Stevie G.
Not yet.
Not yet. No, I. No, honestly, like all jokes aside,
I know he's one of your favorites.
He's one of my favorite players of all time. He's just a great, great player. Just a phenomenal player. It's kind of a shit. I'm surprised he's leaving Liverpool.
Yeah. I feel like he still has a little bit
MLS,
to offer.
I think the move to MLS will be a good one for him. But here, I don't think he'll ever get over Liverpool's collapse in the Premier League last year. But, you know, it's going to be a shame that he's going to leave there without winning the Premier League title. But, you know, they're still in the FA Cup and they still got the Europa League. So
they did have that comeback in the Champions League, too, against Milan, too.
That was
right?
kind of so, good, right?
Yeah, well, he's got that on the...
Oh yeah, he's won everything with them besides from the Premier League, but you know.
Which I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, is generally the biggest deal in England, right? To win
yeah,
the Premier
like,
League.
Yeah, like some people might argue that like the Champions League is bigger because you know.
I personally would
because
you're going
Madrid
at those top
and
clubs, yeah.
All that stuff, but I don't know. It's just the fact over 38 games you're the best team, right?
Yeah, you know, country bragging rights, and David Villa coming over too, actually.
Yeah, of course, yeah, with New York as well, so.
Maddie, moving on to transfers before we go to break here. What were your thoughts about the transfer window?
Well, a little plug here. We have a website now, thefootyroundup.wordpress.com. So check it out. We got some stuff on there. We're going to upload our shows to the site as well. We also have a Twitter page, @footy_roundup. So give us a follow on that as well. So anyway, the plug I'm making is that I wrote a January transfer window starting 11, like all the best players you kind of moved. There were some pretty big players on the move, though. You know, I mean... Goalkeepers, there weren't too much, but defender-wise, your boy Tim Yedved has joined Bayer Leverkusen permanently now from Roma, and he's turned out to be a great player for them.
Yeah, my own bias aside, I think two of the potentially big long-term signings here are the two Croatian guys. Tim Yedved going from, you know, Roma and Leverkusen now making it official. I think he's going to become a fixture on the Croatian national team. He's a very good player.
Oh, yeah.
Very
he's still
gets
19.
Forward, and he's young, and he's fast.
Really good
and
player.
The other one, Andrej Kramaric, who I've been kind of, you know, stoking the fires for him since we were last on the show, ended up going to Leicester City as opposed to Chelsea, where it was rumored he was going to be going. I personally like the move. I think it's a good way for him to get introduced to the EPL and not, you know, thrown into the gauntlet that is Chelsea. And realistically, at this point, he's not going to play at Chelsea behind Costa, you know, Drogba for another season. Luke Remy's still there. I could see him. I think Chelsea in 2 years or so would be a great move for him if he keeps developing. I love him as a player. He's not fast, super fast, not super physical. It doesn't sound like I'm selling his traits right now, but he's a true poacher's goal scorer. He reminds me a little bit of Davor Suker.
Oh,
not
beauty.
Saying that they're the same player by any stretch. I mean, Suker's, you know, one of the top of all time, but he has that same mentality, Matt, that you give him a half yard of space and he finds it for himself. Ball top corner, bar down and in. He's a very, very good player. What else has caught your eye?
Well, also as well back to him is the fact that he might be playing in the championship next year, though, especially because Leicester in the relegation zone.
I'm okay with that, though.
Probably going down.
Yeah, I think if he can help them get back up, it'll be kind of a good way for his stock to go up and his experience to develop at a little bit of an easier level.
For sure.
Because right now, Leicester, they don't have much pieces around him to set him up anyway.
Like David Nugent's their best striker right now.
Yeah, and where's, you know, the width and where's the creativity coming from? It's just a couple strikers on an island, and if they're not doing it all themselves, they're not going to be doing it.
There's a reason they're bottom of the table.
Exactly. I'm cool with them going down a league and then working their way up and maybe growing as a team. I don't think he's going to be there for long. Two seasons tops, and he's going to move on.
Other players that you mentioned, Jurgen Shaqiri finally left Bayern Munich and is getting regular playing time with Inter. He's already been great for them.
Sounds ridiculous, finally left Bayern Munich.
I know, it's weird though, but like the guy just sits on the bench because Bayern are just so deep, right? Juan Corrado going from Fiorentina to Chelsea.
Schürrle too.
And then Chelsea to Wolfsburg. That deal, the Cuadrado deal, hung on Schürrle leaving. It was kind of...
I don't know what the deal was there with Schürrle. He didn't seem fully happy at Chelsea. I don't think
he was playing.
It was
like Kevin De Bruyne, right?
Yeah.
When he left Chelsea to go to Wolfsburg last year now. Similar situation. Wasn't always happy. Wasn't playing all the time. And Wolfsburg are flying right now. They're doing really well in the Bundesliga. So.
Yeah, it seemed like Mourinho rated Willian a little higher than Schürrle. He was playing
right.
And featuring more. And I don't know. They're a little bit different players. I think you can make a case for either guy.
I take Schürrle personally. But
what about Mattia Destro?
That's an interesting one. Yeah. Roma to Milan on loan. And then option to sign him permanently for 16.5 million euros.
How do you feel about him leaving Roma? I know as,
I think
as
it's
a
okay.
Fan of the club. Yeah.
I think it's okay because Roma brought in Cedo Doumbia. They also brought in a couple of other guys. Victor Barbo. So they've got guys to replace him. So it's not the end of the world. But Destro's been a really good player the last couple of years. Just a couple of other big transfers, I guess. Is Wilfred Bony went from Swansea to Man City. I don't understand why he did that. He's not going to play much at City, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't see how he could. What, Jacko Jovetic and Aguero?
That Aguero guy?
Yeah, he's all right once in a while.
I don't know. Like, to me, if you're going to leave Swansea, fine, but good. I don't know. Liverpool, Spurs, or Everton. Like, one of those kind of teams like that. Borderline Champions League, Europa League team. But... It is what it is, right? Obviously, we've got Fernando Torres. This happened a long time ago now because it's started the year.
See, Torres was a strange one to me.
Lucas Podolski went to Inter Milan.
Mandzukic has been scoring and playing well for Atletico. The only thing I can think here when Torres is coming in, are they just going to flip him and make some loot? Like it
I
seems...
doubt it. Because his loan is like 18 months.
Right? Oh, Torres is?
Yeah, it's a year and a half. So
they've been playing them together a little bit, which
Torres
thought was strange.
Torres has played really, yeah. really well. Like, he scored, like I think, 3 or 4 goals already. He had an assist in Atletico's win at the weekend, which we'll talk about after the break. I mean, he's been really
he's
good.
A tough guy to get a read on.
Torres?
Like what's going on with him.
I think the fact he's back at his home club
Spain,
just
yeah.
settled him down. So.
Well, hopefully. We'll see how that goes with them. They definitely have improved their attacking depth going forward. Matty, after the break, we're going to come back and discuss the Big Four leagues. Matty, never gets sick of hearing the boys are back.
No,
didn't feel the same without
anytime it. I hear like in the background of a sporting event or anything, I'm like, that's our theme song.
Yeah,
that's
it.
Our thing.
Back for the second half segment of the show, Matt, leading off with the Premiership. There were some very interesting results in that league the past week.
Yeah, the weekend in the Premier League was fun. Let's just say
yeah.
that much. I think first of all, the fact that Chelsea went and got 3 points away at Villa. And then Man City.
How's Chelsea doing
points.
This year? They're doing all right, eh?
I think they're doing okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever picked them.
Yeah,
obviously
probably
pretty
smart,
pretty
eh?
Smart guy.
Probably also pretty good looking.
Probably. So, no, I mean, like, Eden Hazard and Ivanovic scored for Chelsea in that win at Villa. Good away. When Villa's one of those places, Villa, if they're really good or really bad each year, it's always a tricky place
a tough
to go
out,
win.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a hard place to go get 3 points.
Chelsea scrapped for that, too. I watched most of that game.
That second goal that Ivanovic won, like, that scored, great finish. But what the hell was the defender doing on the floor?
Yeah, it was
like,
a
kicking it thin air. I don't know.
Just flailing
just
about.
Garbage.
The finish was class, though.
Oh, it was
for,
a great finish,
for,
though. Ivanovic can score, man. I tell you that much. And then, you know, Chelsea get the 3 points, and then Man City go and draw 1-1 at home with Hull. And
pulled it back late to get something.
92nd minute goal from
Milner,
James Milner.
Yeah. Actually, Aguero smoked the bar too, just shortly
yeah,
before
he did, like,
that.
Minutes before, yeah.
Won, yeah.
That was a great touch and volley, though.
Yeah, it was.
Milner scoring. It always frustrates me when Milner scores because it means he's doing just enough to kick around in the England squad for a little longer.
But not a fan, eh?
No, I've never been a fan of Milner. I don't know. I guess the other big result, obviously, was London Derby. Arsenal losing at Spurs. Harry Kane, man.
It's on fire.
Best player in the Premier League this year.
I don't know. Costa when he's healthy, but he's certainly in the discussion, which is incredible considering
his
experience.
But out of nowhere.
I
mean, if you ask a lot of people, did you know who Harry Kane was? I don't know. 6 months, 9 months ago. A lot of people have been like, who? And now he's like, I mean, he's best English striker in the Premier League right now. There's no other way around it. I mean, I think we were talking about this off the air in between and you know, beforehand over the phone and stuff, that if Roy Hodgson doesn't call up this guy,
it's crazy.
He's a maniac.
Yeah.
He's easily the best player right now. My brother texted me and said a front four
to
or
me
four
it's
strikers
not just calling up. Like he has to start. Like
well,
your future's now. Like get him in there. Get
right.
In the fold.
Like I said, my brother texted me and was like, England's four strikers right now are Kane, Rooney, Welbeck, and Sturridge. Like, geez, sign me up for some of that. That'd be pretty good. So yeah, I mean, you know, Harry Kane doing his thing for Spurs.
Another greasy result for Man United.
Yeah, last minute. Yeah. Davy Blind got a last minute equalizer
there. Man, do they find a way. I was going to text you and be like, again? And then I saw the late one, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to say again to that. But
it's funny, though. Like,
results with the strangest one, Matt, is they haven't lost in a while.
They haven't lost in a while.
It doesn't feel great, though.
And, you know, I was actually talking to my brother about this because he's a United fan. And I was like, United, you know, they seem to you think, oh, finally they're back on track. They win 5-6 games in a row. And
then they stub their toe. Yeah.
Draw away at West Ham. I mean, they're 12 points back of Chelsea. I mean, they're not. It's going to take a miracle for them to win the league.
Yeah. They're going to have to sweep whatever head-to-heads they have left.
Well, not just that, but you need Chelsea to probably lose to some garbage teams and, you know, fall out of
the place. And then also when Chelsea does, on rare occasion, do that, Man U needs max points. They can't get a draw when Chelsea's losing.
Like, you know, Chelsea right now are top with 56 points and Man City are second with 49. And it was like that, I don't know what, 8-9 games ago. And suddenly Man City clawed it back, went top for like a day. And now they're suddenly 7 points back behind again.
I feel like the Man City Hull City is a really funny result. I mean, the optimists will say glass half full. I think that's a huge opportunity lost for
City. Oh, 100%. A home game. It doesn't matter.
There's games left, Matt, but this may be one where they say the turning point, you know, down the line is the Premiership might have been lost on that result.
Well, yeah, I mean,
home.
You know, there's 14 games left in the year.
Yeah.
So if you add two more points to City's total, they're 5 points behind Chelsea. I'm not sure if they play each other again. I'm sure they do. So, you know, you got a chance to maybe cut the deficit there. And then, you know, other results, you know, Chelsea aren't going to win their last 14 games.
No.
They're going to drop a few points somewhere. So,
but you got to think they're going to probably win at least 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
it doesn't leave the window open very much.
No, not at all. And also in the Premier League as well, Southampton are still third, man.
I can't believe that.
They just keep doing it.
Like, they seem like a solid, you know, 8, 9, 10 team to me at the start of the season, and they're there. Like,
1-0 away when
ahead of United, Tottenham, Arsenal, Liverpool. How many people would have said that?
Not many. The thing is, I'd be curious to see if they can hang on to that. I mean, can you imagine Southampton in the Champions League next year?
You know, I'd like to see it.
I'd like to see it too. Yeah. But I still imagine at some point Spurs or Arsenal. I don't think Liverpool might not quite make it, but they'll probably leapfrog them at some point.
Spurs and Arsenal, I'm not really, you know, a fan of any particular team in the Premiership. Like, I just like, you know, good soccer, and I kind of really look what's happening in the top 5-6 in the table each year. Tottenham and Arsenal are teams that just frustrate me, Matt. I've said it to you too back when we had our Champions League discussion. Also, I mentioned about Liverpool as well as another team that frustrates me, and they seem to underwhelm a lot. Arsenal and Tottenham, I don't know. I can't see them getting much higher than they are unless maybe Southampton starts dropping a little bit. I think United stays ahead of all three of those teams.
Yeah, I do too. I think United will end up third in the table.
I was going to say Chelsea, City, United, 1-2-3, and then we'll see.
After that, you know, pick them out of a hat, really.
The interesting one will be, can United catch City?
Yeah, they're only 5 points behind.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't surprise me.
It'd be interesting.
Anyway. Yeah, but yeah, Premier League is looking fun, and Leicester, QPR, and Hull are in the relegation zone. They all pretty much suck, to be honest. I mean, they're not.
Yeah,
very
Leicester
good.
And QPR.
Leicester
really bad
and QPR
shape
are
right
down.
Now.
I mean, you know, Leicester are bottom with 17 points, and Burnley are the safe team in 17th with 21 points, and then you've got 22, 23, 24, 26 points up to 13th, and then even Everton with 27 points in 12th. They're not clear.
No, they're not far clear, but so, it's hard to envision. It seems ridiculous that, you know, Leicester's like four points back with a good 14, 15 games left in the season.
Yeah.
It almost seems insurmountable to me, which is
insane. It's weird. And they're only like 4 points back, as you say. I mean, you know.
Like, I think Hull could sneak out of there. I think they have the quality to get out. Maybe Burnley will drop.
Curious to see what Villa do, if Villa managed. I mean, Villa are 16, 22 points, a couple of points clear. Can they stay up? I don't know. It's going to be fun, though. Both ends of the table. Middle of the table, like West Ham, Swansea, Stoke. You're just going nowhere. You're not going to go up or down. It's just a battle for a little bit of money, basically.
Yeah, it's purgatory. It's not that good, but it's not that bad.
It's better than being relegated.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah.
La Liga, Rob. Big result. Biggest game of the weekend was Atletico and Real Madrid.
Oh, it wasn't even competitive, man.
No, it was awful.
Atletico
just an absolute
just destroyed them.
Smashing.
As I was saying before the show, I'm going to attribute that to a lack of Luka Modric. And then, as you said, but they've won a lot of games in a row.
But Real Madrid won a 26-game winning streak.
But this
while
is
he
also
was out
the
injured.
First game scoreless for Real Madrid, and no Modric in the house. So,
well, that's picking up bones there.
Where's our creative fulcrum there?
And also in that game, why is he not in that game?
Well, Rodriguez
before,
being
Rodriguez
out too,
is out now.
Yeah, that's
broken foot.
Both of those guys being out, I know Real's deep, but that hurts up the middle of the park.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's two really creative guys who are out of the league and out of the lineup. And obviously, they were without Ronaldo for two games after his suspension, but he was back for this Atletico game. But
it's such an emphasis now on even more so Ronaldo and Bale providing that width now.
Right.
You're not having
and
that
Benzema
same
up
threat
front.
Up the middle of the park, yeah.
But, I mean, Atletico have both Real Madrid's and Barcelona's number.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't Real Madrid and Barcelona haven't beaten Atletico now in like combined like 7 or 8 games. It's been a while because remember like Atletico drew at Barcelona the last game of the season to win the league last year.
But Atletico's more susceptible to dropping those not stupid games, but like games they should have.
Almeria and Sociedad and Bilbao. They have this weird. I mean, yeah,
they get up like for the big teams.
They do, but like the good thing about La Liga now, it is a free horse race every year. Atletico are here to stay.
I like. I think Simeone's. I guess attitude, for lack of better words, but his leadership style. I think he gets those guys dialed in for the big games. I really 100%. See them kind of playing the like, you know, we've taken care of things in the Spanish league, and we're almost the forgotten sister in the equation here.
Right. Well said. And Barcelona, they won 5-2 at Athletic Bilbao.
This one's going down to the wire in the Spanish league.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, Madrid 54 points, Barca 53, and Atletico 50.
And then a big 6-point gap from Valencia in fourth, too.
Right. Valencia and Sevilla, it's kind of nice. It's nice to see Valencia back up there competing a little more. But yeah, you're right. This is a free horse race. There's no question about that. Barcelona looked really good against Athletic yesterday. I watched, took in the highlights. Messi was pretty good, so that's which isn't really surprising, right? So
it's hard for you to admit that, I know, since you're such a pro Ronaldo guy.
I am. I mean, yeah, but I mean, I am Ronaldo, but yeah. Messi is obviously second best player in the world, in my opinion. I think you share the same sentiment, don't you?
Yeah, I just think that Messi maybe needs the quote unquote perfect system a little more than Cristiano does.
Right.
I think that Ronaldo's a little bit more of a game breaker, a little bit more adaptable, a little bit more mercurial too, though. I think Messi's a little bit more consistent. I call them a 1A and 1B.
I won't call
them a 1 and 2.
If I was still getting picked, I'd still take Ronaldo every day. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, scoring 5 goals away from home against Athletic Bilbao is no, you know, I mean, Athletic are 13th in the table. They're not great, but you know,
they're not that level,
they're
of
not
beating.
That bad, yeah. So
how about the Bundesliga, Matty? What's caught your eye in that one?
Borussia Dortmund, baby. They finally won. In case you've been living under a rock and haven't been following,
so you went with Borussia Dortmund, not Paderborn Köln? No
You remember when the start of the year, yeah, Paderborn were like second of the table,
and it was so funny.
Nope, they are now 15th.
Some of the German teams Matt's able to say, and then Paderborn was always like his mouth was falling down the stairs when he went to try to name it.
But anyway, I mean, Dortmund, I mean, their season has been incredible. It's been probably, I think, the biggest story in Europe, like across every league. The fact that Dortmund, you know, were in the Champions League, they won the league recently, like Champions League final.
You had
like,
him a dark horse for the Bundesliga.
Of course, I don't even class him as a dark horse. I mean, yeah. I think Bayern and Dortmund are the two best teams going into the year.
Yeah.
And Dortmund, they won 5 of their 20 games this year. Like, it's mind-boggling. They haven't fired the manager. They still got Marco Reus and Gundogan and Aubameyang, like Mats Hummels. They haven't lost really anyone. They have some injuries. But to be 16, anyway.
Yeah, it's rough.
They finally won. They won 3-0 away at Freiburg, who were actually 17th in the table. So it was actually a bottom-of-the-table match. So
Matt,
really
I got to pimp my pick a little bit here that I said was... That I thought would stay upper top of the table, Wolfsburg.
Second in the table.
They've just been right there.
Well, you know what it
is,
performing. Right? It's Lord Nicholas Bentner. The legend.
Lord Nicholas Bentner.
But, I mean, yeah, Wolfsburg look really good.
They just get the results, however they need to get them.
They won 3-0 at the weekend against Hoffenheim. That's a, you know, good home win. Kevin De Bruyne, we
Champions
about
League
him in the
spot
first
feels
half.
Pretty safe, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
There's
I
ways
mean,
to go.
They're 8 points behind Bayern, but they're also 7 points clear of third place. Which
they're
is
comfortably in second. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, they think really good. Van Dost, the other striker for them, has been really, really good. Now they got Schürrle as well. So, yeah, Wolfsburg, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. You know, I'm sure Dortmund are going to stay up. But it's funny that we have to kind of, at some extent, consider the fact that Dortmund might be relegated, which is, to me, is mind-boggling. Even consider that. You know, you look at United last year, they had an awful year and they finished, what, 7th still?
Yeah.
And you think Dortmund now have an awful year and they're 16th. They're in the relegation zone.
Quick side note, too, on a late transfer, Matty, actually. Ivica Olic left Wolfsburg for Hamburg. So now it's just Ivan Perisic as the lone Croat standing in Wolfsburg. Olic has had a nice little career in Germany, actually. He scored
he's had a good goal for Bayern
in that one Champions League run they had. I can't remember who they lost to. Maybe it was Porto in the finals. Olic, I know, led the tournament in Champions League tournament in goals that year. He really, and at his age, at 36, I think he is now, maybe 37, to still be performing at the level. I'm surprised, even as a fan of his, that he's still going. He's very much a fitness freak, though, and always dedicated to the cause.
When I saw his transfer go through, I was like, oh, I knew he was
still
playing in Germany
around,
still.
Yeah.
And I figured, well, you know, he'd probably be, I don't know, just not goofing around, but, you know, doing his thing every now and then. And I was like, man, he's still scoring
goals.
He doesn't hesitate hanging back. Also in the Bundesliga, like I said, Schalke are third. The big surprise, I think, in Bundesliga this year, apart from the fact that Dortmund just, for some reason, are awful, is Augsburg are fourth.
And Mönchengladbach.
You
I just
said it right.
That.
You got it right. I was going to ask you, Rob, who's in fifth place? And it is Mönchengladbach. And also, the other team in sixth is Bayer Leverkusen. I know, they should be better than that. But, you know, it is what it is. Werder Bremen beat them 2-1 at the weekend, and Werder in eighth. And they would have had a really awkward season as well. So
I guess the million-dollar thing to watch going forward, can Dortmund pass Paderborn? That's the big question.
Is that our big question? 1-point difference.
Stunningly. In Paderborn's favor.
In Paderborn's favor. I think it's time to move to Serie A.
Yeah, Serie A, Maddie. The last of the big four, we had Juve 3, Milan 1.
Yeah, well, Juve just keep winning. Like, Roma, you know, I think when we went off the air a while back, obviously before we took our hiatus for a little bit, Juve and Roma were pretty much level pegging. The gap's 7 points now.
Yeah, it's widened.
And the last couple of times...
Napoli's closer to Roma now than
Roma to Juve, yeah. Every time Juve have drawn a couple of games. They've drawn 5 games this year, and Roma have drawn 7. It seems every time Juve drew, Roma went and drew as well.
Yeah, they just made up.
They
no
just
ground.
They're not making ground on them, and they're, like I said, they're 7 points behind now. With halfway through the season, halfway through the year, a little over halfway. And yeah, Juve won. You said against Milan, Tevez, Bonucci, and Morata scored, and Roma won 2-1 away at Cagliari. So, you know, good away win.
The Roma-Juve situation actually is very similar to me to City-Chelsea.
Right.
Like, you need to be able to be collecting max points. The odd time the Juves or the Chelseas, you know, stub their toe a bit here, uh-huh, if you're going to close the gap at all. And neither side has really been able to do that.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's like you said, like the gap is actually 7 points for both teams.
Yeah.
But so you need a couple of losses and you to win a game.
Max points, yeah.
You know, Juve beat Roma, as we alluded to last, you know, one of our shows before we went off. And like you said, Napoli are closing in on Roma. I always enjoy watching Napoli. They
I
have
do
some
too.
Really good players. Like, Hamzik is still a phenomenal player. And Higuain is getting it done still.
Ivan Strinic from Dinipro came over.
He did.
In the transfer window.
I like solid that signing back, a lot. Yeah. I like that signing a lot.
He doesn't get forward like with the best technical skill, but he's very strong and very quick, and he's a good defender. I do like him, and I think he'll do well in Italy as well.
Inter Milan beat Palermo 3-0. Freddy Goain scored, and Icardi scored a brace. Inter Milan are hanging in ninth place, though.
There's a lot of teams in these leagues that remind you of other teams. Like, Inter's kind of meandering about, almost Liverpool-esque, kind of. Like, they're right
but
there.
But the big
they
difference,
should be
though,
doing better.
Is that Inter Milan have a bunch of Serie A titles, and Liverpool have no Premier League titles.
Fair point, yeah.
And same goes for AC Milan, right? I mean,
yeah,
Inter,
been up at top
Inter
for a while.
And AC are ninth and tenth. And actually, they have the exact... Looking at this, just got it here, right here.
Even the goals.
They've played 22 games.
Almost the goals.
Inter Milan and AC have played 22 games, have won 7, drawn 8, lost 7. They've both conceded 29 goals, and Inter have scored 33 goals, and Milan have scored 32. That's kind of spooky.
Yeah, Inter is just way better, obviously.
Well, obviously. They scored 33 goals and not 32. I mean, that's common sense, right?
Maddie, before we go off the air, the last few minutes of the show, we are introducing a new segment that we have aptly called our Studs and Duds, which is basically the team or player, you know, that we thought did exceptionally or did very poor. Matt, my stud, no question, Atletico Madrid for steamrolling Real 4-0. I have an interesting statistic here for you from that game. Shots for Atletico, 17, Real 4. This one's more telling. On target, 8 for Atletico, 1 for Real.
Yeah, you don't score many goals when you
have one shot on target.
Having said that, eight on target of 17 isn't a very good ratio. That's less than 50.
Better than 1 out of 4.
Well, that's also better. That is touche. Well played.
Okay, you can one up my stud. What's your stud for the
week? My stud is Borussia Dortmund. Not the fact of where they are in the table,
yeah,
but just
ridiculous.
But just the fact
of
how important it was to win this weekend. They
finally
against
get
a team
off the mat
who was
here.
Above them in the table going into the game to beat them comfortably. Marco Ruiz scored twice. Aubameyang scored a pair. It was a big result. They needed that. So that's my stud for the week.
My dud, Maddie, is Man City. I'm looking at this more as, I guess, a glass half empty, even though they did, you know, quote unquote, steal a point late. Aguero, like as we mentioned earlier, hit the bar, could have maybe had Milner's goal be the winner. But yep. It's a draw to me. Like, for example, I was debating between United. If United lost, I would have made them my dud for sure. But I think the United draw, I felt a little bit better about their draw than City's relative to where they are in the table.
Right.
I for me, big, big lost opportunity for City, and I think one that they may rue down the line for costing them a shot at the Premiership title this season.
Yeah, and my dud is Bayer Leverkusen. losing 2-1 away at Werder Bremen. It's not the fact... this, you know, it's funny, the Dortmund one I suggested was their result this weekend, but the Bayer Leverkusen one is just more of their season because we've been off the air for a little bit. You know, just losing to teams who are below them in the table. Werder Bremen are one of those teams who you kind of just respect every week. They are good. They've been at the top of the table for many, many years. But they just, I don't know, Bayer Leverkusen, the start of the season when they beat Dortmund, if you remember the first game of the year, 2-0, and they've kind of just, they hung around for the first, you know, 5-6 weeks with Bayern Munich, and then they just plummeted. So that's my dud for the week.
Matty, some quick fixtures to keep our eye on for the listeners.
Yeah, there's no big game. There's no, I don't know, you know, like Real Madrid, Atletico, or Barcelona.
Like must-see TV.
None of that. I think the biggest game in Europe this week is actually midweek. It's Liverpool and Spurs. They play Tuesday night. The Premier League is on a Tuesday-Wednesday schedule this week because the FA Cup is this weekend. Chelsea play Everton. I guess it's a pretty big game as well to some extent.
I feel like Leverkusen, Wolfsburg may be a good one in the Bundesliga.
Like you say, Leverkusen at home, Wolfsburg second in the table. Werder Bremen play Augsburg. Be curious to see what Augsburg can do there, especially after Werder won at the weekend. Bayern play Hamburg. More of a, you know, two names that, you know, we're familiar with being contenders in the Bundesliga.
Some of the big teams too, Matty. City is going against Stoke. We got Chelsea and Everton, yep. Southampton, West Ham. And Bayern, Hamburg, you imagine Bayern will be fairly comfortable there.
Should do, yeah. Real Madrid playing Deportivo, Barcelona playing Levante. And in Italy, Roma play Parma and Udinese play Lazio.
Yeah, the controversy laddled Parma, actually, these days with their financial situation.
So. Yeah, actually, it's funny. The Christian Rodriguez in my, you know, plug again, my transfer story, he joined Parma on loan from Atletico. And he admitted he got there and he didn't know the players weren't being paid.
Yeah.
So that's... interesting.
So in the world of the internet age, everyone connected, not quite for Rodriguez, huh?
Absolutely. So yeah, it's good to be back, Rob.
It is good to be back. It's been a long time coming, pun intended. But
make sure you check out the website and follow us on Twitter and interact with us and everything. Give us a follow and yeah.
We're back in action now. Same bat time, same bat channel. Thank you for listening. Footy Roundup, Robbie and Matt signing off.